Time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to us by True and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, good morning on this Sunday. How are you?
Doing well, Marty. What's going on?
How's the golf tournament going today? It's been all over Twitter. What's going on there?
I haven't really been paying close attention. I do know that Spieth shot a 66, and he's right back in it. He's about one off the lead. Jason Day and an Irish kid named Paul Dunn are 12 under, so it's going to be a good finish tomorrow.
Yeah, Dave Fleming has been all. I hope Dave Fleming goes to the game today. I mean, he's been.
It's hard to tear away from that.
Yeah, believe me, he's tweeting every 7 minutes about what's going on. A lot to talk about today. First of all, I hope you got to hear a little bit of Masanori Murakami.
Unfortunately, I just rolled in here.
Okay. We had a nice book is out called Mashy, and about his story and, of course, coming to the Giants and all that. You remember him at all in the 60s and what his story was like? First Japanese player to come over, international incident about his contract. Another one didn't come over until Nomo 40 years later.
I really don't. I was down in L.A., and, you know, we didn't – there just weren't very many games on. There were a few Giants games on that we could see, but I remember seeing him a little bit, but it was just a shade before I got really plugged into those Giants.
Yeah, good story. I like his story, but the book is pretty good. If you have a chance, Bruce, pick it up. I think you'll enjoy it. It's Mashy by Robert Fitz. All right. Last night, I love the baseball scorekeeping. I love it. John Lester, did you follow this one? He's pitching against Atlanta, and he thinks that Nick Markakis has gotten a hit off him, like in the second inning or something. And all of a sudden, the score changes the decision in the sixth inning. And it's the only hit of the game so far. And he looks up at the scoreboard in the seventh inning and says, hey, I got a no-hitter going. How about that?
Yeah, that's – well, you know, it's probably better that it gets changed, you know, during the game because, you know, if you – you pitch a no-hitter, and then the scorekeeper goes down and talks to a bunch of people and is really certain that was a hit, and it gets changed, you know, that's no good. I mean, that happens a lot during regular circumstances. You know, if it's in a 5-1 game, a play that's shorter in left field or whatever, the good scorekeepers will go down and talk to some people and try to get that right and maybe change it. But if something like this, it's got to be done during the game. You know, it might be a phone call to the dugout or whatever.
Yeah, but how about that? I mean, first of all, you know, he's got a no-hitter going. And, you know, and he doesn't even know it. And, you know, like no one announces it. I guess in the press box they did. And I guess they told the scoreboard, but I guess nobody, you know, I guess you're not going to announce it in the stadium. I guess that would be too much.
No. All of a sudden a hit pops up there.
Right.
Happened in the second inning?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, early at that point, nobody's, you know, the guy's not thinking it's going to be any big deal. That's a tough break for Lester. That's not good.
Yeah, they took the hit off the board, and he's got a no-hitter now. He looks up and says, gee, I got a no-hitter going, and he faces A.J. Pierzynski, and the antagonist of the world gets a base hit, and that's it for the no-hitter. I love baseball. I love it. I'll tell you, I love it. I love the stories and the personalities. It's great. Susek, I don't know if you saw this last night, and, you know, Bruce, catchers diving headfirst into anything, a mistake.
Wrong.
Right?
Yeah. Well, the diving headfirst has been a real issue of late. You know, the D. Gordon thing was totally inexcusable. I don't know what he was thinking, and he's already said, I'll never do that again, slide into first base. It took him out of the All-Star game and some of the Marlins games. But last night, I mean, there's just no real reason to do that. I mean, especially sliding into third. I mean, if you're sliding into the plate, you know, a lot of guys are, you know, have that sort of fadeaway where you just show them like a finger as you slide by, and that's all you've got to tag, and that could be really dangerous too, as well. But for a catcher, you know, your hands are your livelihood. It's everything, and that's really unfortunate. I don't have they said how long he's going to be out or
no? They haven't put their notes out yet.
Yeah.
So what they're tweeting here, you know, Andy and Alex and those folks, no move yet because they're waiting on the results of the MRI for Susek, which tells me I don't see how they could possibly do this because their bench is so thin right now. They couldn't carry him for 7 or 8 days without a backup catcher. So
no.
I don't know what, but Sanchez is there apparently. But
yeah,
he hasn't been added to the roster yet. But I would imagine it should be 99% he's got to be added.
It's funny because, you know, over the years you saw Pete Rose and Ricky Henderson slide headfirst just routinely, and nothing ever happened. They were like made of iron. But the fact is, it's extremely dangerous, especially with your hands, and really any position, any player. I mean, catcher in particular, but any ball player can't afford to get that, especially, you know, the throwing hand. No. Hurt like that. So it doesn't make sense.
And I think it slows you down.
At first base, it definitely. Yeah, anywhere, it definitely slows you down. That's what I don't get. Nick Punto has always been claiming that it doesn't slow you down. I actually feel like I get there faster. And I remember Brandon Moss going, "Well, wrong. Okay, it doesn't."
Yeah, because think about it. I mean, you know, human beings, you have to have a mental moment that says, "Okay, dive on this hard dirt into this base." You know what
yeah,
I
there's
mean?
There's one time you slide into first, and that's if you got to be looking at an eye at the throw. But if the throw's coming up high and to the home plate side of the bag where the first baseman's got to go up, grab it, and swipe tag you as you go by, you slide and you're not there. He can't get you. That's when it works. That's the only time it makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, your point is well taken, especially for a catcher. You just don't want to be doing that. That doesn't make sense. Well, Giants are hitting, Bruce, and I realize, and I said on the show here, the starting staffs that they're hitting against, they're really at the bottom of the league. But look, you got to hit the ball, and they're doing it. But the 2-3 guys, Duffy and Panic, to me, just it's almost the story of the second half of the season. And Posey,
Posey's
really like, say, come on, guys, keep getting on. I like this.
Posey's coming up in RBI situations just routinely now. But, you know, they're hitting because they're good hitters. I know they're not facing the best pitchers in the league, and, you know, somebody like Kershaw is probably going to shut them down. Who knows? But, I mean, these guys are good hitters. The averages tell it. The other stats reveal it. I mean, Panic is just a friggin' hit machine right now.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to watch. To all fields, he's totally, you know, within himself, as they say. He's not saying, oh, my God, I think I might jack a few out now. He's just peppering base hits all over the outfield. And Duffy's the same way. He goes to right field so often, which is just great to see.
Yeah, he's looking to go that way, which I
yeah,
I
he
like.
Really is. Yeah, and of course Pence, he'll kill you in any field.
How about Pence? I mean, you just watch this guy, and we talked a lot about him yesterday. You know, this 3-4-5, this Duffy, Posey, Pence, and even Crawford. Crawford's got like 55 RBIs now. He's going to drive in 100.
Yeah. Well, next year, if Pence is healthy, if everybody's healthy, Pence is going to give Harper and Stanton a run for that starting job in the National League outfield. I mean, that's how much I think of him. That's how much the Giants and their fans think of him. He really is that good in his way. And yeah, Crawford is he's become a real money hitter, which is great. Great to see. You know, I think Tulowitzki's healthy now, so he's always going to be in the argument. But in terms of the best all-around shortstop, you know, he's right up there with Peralta and Tulowitzki and Simmons, and maybe a little ahead of him.
What was your thought about Peavy last night?
Oh, I thought he was good. I mean, he got out of a lot of jams. His sinker was good. He got some huge outs. He gave up a couple of pumps too, which was annoying because it should have been an easier game. So I think all in all, way happier with him than Kane, though. He had much more command.
Yeah.
And he had much more consistency. He got a couple pitches up, and they were nailed, but I think pretty much encouraging.
Absolutely. That's what I saw as well. Plus, he got a hit that started the rally.
Yeah.
Really,
all the Giants pitchers take pride in their hitting, and Bumgarner won't let them forget it, and it's a great thing.
we got to see him hit today against Corbin.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. The Mets hit three homers off of Corbin, so maybe it's a good sign. For the Giants today. But from here, as I say, they must win in the West. And if August just split, it's fine. As long as you win in the West, things will work out. From here, they go to San Diego. And, Bruce, every year we go through this around July 31st, that one clubhouse where everybody thinks they're being traded. They're heading into that, into San Diego. We had someone on this morning from 1090 down there. Said Derek Norris to the Mets for Tejada. Shields is going to go maybe to Houston. He had people going all over the world today. And it's going to be interesting because the Giants have to win games here, but you're going against a San Diego team that who knows what they're thinking about.
Well, exactly. They're in such a weird spot. I mean, you know, and there's been stories written all over the country, you know, nationally written, Buster Olney, New York Times, you know, what's going to happen to the Padres? AJ Preller completely blew it. He tried, you know, a big splash. he gave up really an amazing amount of talent. Baseball America ran down the 10 top guys they gave up and what they're doing now. Yeah. Some of them are in the big, some of them are on their way. And, you know, meanwhile, you're looking at Upton and Kemp and, you know, whatever. And Shields is very good, but he's not really getting it done. And Kimbrel seems out of place. So they're really messed up. In a way, you'd think they have nothing to lose, but there's so much anxiety in the clubhouse as to where are we going to go. That's not really that hang loose of a ball club. I really think the Giants should handle them and win two out of three anyway.
Well, they're eating up Colorado. Now, yeah. Of course, they do that all year long. Now the Giants are going in. We'll see what they do today. But if Justin Upton, boy, his name has come up a lot, the Mets, the Dodgers, believe it or not. And I guess if you get him, you got to take Melvin with you.
Yeah. yeah, you get the Upton brothers. Yeah, Melvin's kind of a lost cause, which has always baffled me. I mean, we all remember that one postseason he had where they couldn't get him out. He was homer every other at bat. Such a good athlete, and he's just a complete bust as a hitter. But I don't know. Upton, to me, is not a difference maker. I think he'd fit in great with a team that already, you know, like a number five or six hitter, he could be lethal. But I don't think you can ride him to a pennant. And an interesting pickup. If the Dodgers want him, does that mean they trade Puig? I mean, what?
Well,
what
that's it.
That?
Yeah, because Crawford's coming back Monday.
Yeah,
and maybe as I say, each day I talk to you, I'm buying your breakfast. You know, I started with a dinner, lunch. Now I'm at breakfast with you right now. Maybe Puig does get traded. Who knows?
It's impossible to say. I mean, the Dodgers are working this hard, and you know, if they're smart, they'll do like the A's last year. You know, Billy Beane got Samardzija, I think, on July 4th. Or something. It was really early. I mean, you don't want to jump in when Hamels and Cueto are already gone. You know, they got to be at the forefront of this thing.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see that.
Well, it's great. I love it. And I think, as I said yesterday, this is one of the most interesting two-week periods I've seen in a long time because everybody's in it. And there's some substantial pitching names that could be moved around here that could actually make a difference. Usually, you get a guy, who knows. But there are people, you put Cueto on the Giants.
Ah.
You put Hamels on the Dodgers. You put Tulowitzki on the Mets. I mean, things.
Oh my, yeah, boy,
you
know, I'll tell you,
things can change.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, it's really, really interesting. I think Shields could make. I'd like to see Shields on the Giants, although who knows with them? I mean, Vogelsong pitched so well out of the pen the other night. God, he looks like he's certainly not going to go away. So that they've got their own thing to deal with internally, but Shields somewhere could be a huge difference maker.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, I talked to Ken Korak this morning. I'm so glad he's in the booth. He's done the whole series here against Minnesota, getting over that knee injury. We'll see him next weekend, of course, when the A's come over. And he told me about Billy Burns, and I don't know if you followed him or watched him, but he says this is Billy Hamilton, but he can hit.
Yeah, Billy Burns pretty much won that game for him yesterday. That was a huge game they had yesterday. Really, really big. If they get it together, that's going to be where it started, because they lost the first game out. They were down bottom of the ninth, nobody on, and Brett Lowry basically beats out a sharp grounder to short. Escobar made a nice play, but, I mean, it was just pure hustle by Lowry. He got on. They wind up tying the game. All right, now it's the bottom of the tenth, and Burns hits a little sort of blooper into right center, never stops running. He's blinding fast. He gets a double out of it. And then he just quickly steals third. I mean, what if he's thrown out? But he steals third, head first slide. He makes it by about 6 inches, and then the ball. I mean, this is a great guy to have in the A's position, because they're just they're the worst team in the league. They've lost more games than any team in the league. Okay, that's the stat you have to remember. And if you're going to get out of it, you need stuff like that. You need stuff like Laurie's hustle and Billy Burns, and because just to show that there's still a lot of life on that team.
Yeah, apparently Brett Laurie is one of those players, and he hustles, but he made a throw to first base. He missed the first baseman by 15 yards.
Yeah, that's why they got in so much. That's why Kazmir had to come out of the game. He's sailing into the ninth inning, gets the first guy, and then that happens.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, he's out of the game, and Clifford blows the save. Yeah, he's no Josh Donaldson, but he does have he's about as motivated as anybody I've ever seen. He plays the game hard.
I like the A's Giants games. Now, according to Ken, and it's not official, but he thinks perhaps Kazmir and Sonny Gray will not pitch against the Giants. He's got Chavez, maybe Bassett and Graveman, depending, because they've got an off day. They're using four starters. But, boy, A's Giant games, they're fun. I like them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they get more interesting all the time. I mean, I think the old Bay Bridge series games, whether it was preseason or during the season, never really did a whole lot for me. I didn't feel that energy of like Mets, Yanks, or Cubs, White Sox, or whatever. But it's getting better all the time. You know, the A's still have a very interesting team. I think they're the most interesting 51 loss team I've ever seen at this stage of the season.
Well,
they're going to L.A. after they come here, so that's
okay.
That's a very big series too.
Yeah, and it helps. I mean, this could help the Giants really. And again, L.A. today, Greinke and Scherzer. It's very hot there today, but Greinke 35 2/3 scoreless, and just as we're talking, I'll flip the scoreboard on here and see how they're doing. But how about Zach Greinke and what he's, you're talking getting there at bottom of the third, no score. So he's got another 2, 37 1/3, I guess.
Oh,
now.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, he's getting there, Drysdale and Hershiser and all that stuff. Interesting.
Yeah, he's a beauty. He's such an individual, kind of iconoclast, and says whatever comes to his mind, no matter how odd or controversial or inappropriate it might be. But he's pretty much a Greg Maddux type guy out there now. He's been a real power pitcher in his day, but he's got a lot more finesse now. His control is just astounding.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this. He's not a big guy. He's just like a guy. And he goes out there like, I'm going to kick everybody's ass out here. You want to come charge the mound? You can do that too. I mean, he's just got that great attitude that you need to have. And what a blessing for the Dodgers, and what a blow it would be if he, goes ahead and opts out and tests the market and goes somewhere else.
Boy, how about that? Winter. Yeah, he could get – that could be a $200 million guy.
Yeah.
You know, age and everything else. Well, it's been an interesting beginning to the second half here as everything unfolds. Diamondbacks sort of one of those teams sort of disappearing. And we'll see if the Padres fall into that. Cincinnati is there. Milwaukee is there. The Marlins should be on their way to, getting their reservations at the golf course for October. The Phillies and Atlanta probably should be fairly close behind. The Phillies for sure. I'm not sure about Atlanta yet, but I think that they may take another week or two, but they've got to go.
Yeah, yeah. The really interesting thing about the San Diego series, God help the Giants if it happens, but if the Padres were to sweep that series, all of a sudden, they will have won like what, 6-7 in a row, and
right.
It's like, no, wait a minute now. The standings will show it too. They're not out of it necessarily. And do they really trade those guys? And they'll have a sort of a new dilemma amidst the all the cheering.
Well, the Derek, when the fellow was on from 1090, he said, well, Derek Norris to the Mets for Ruben Tejada, because the Mets need some offense. Maybe Norris could do that, and the Padres need a shortstop. So that made some sense because they have this Austin Hedges who they want to use a lot. You know, we talked a little bit about the Cardinals yesterday, and all of a sudden I turn on the game, Jason Hayward, 5-for-5.
Yeah.
Now, this is a guy with Atlanta. After his first opening day where he hit home runs,
yeah,
I don't think he got another big hit for the next 3 years. And he goes to St. Louis, 5-for-5, and he's hitting 290. Isn't it? It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, the Cardinals are amazing. There's really no way to explain it except that they do things right. They'll hack your computer. They'll get in there and hack you. they're certainly not saints, but they play the game as it should be played. They've got Matheny's a solid guy. They've got pitching. They got the great catcher. And they've got these intangibles that just always seem to go their way.
And John Lackey, you talk about a mean guy on the mound. How about this guy?
Yeah, exactly. If you take him out and he thinks he's got something going, he's like, wait a minute, what the hell? He's throwing stuff around the dugout.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you ever watch House of Cards?
I didn't get into that show.
Okay.
I thought a couple times. I've heard it's very good. I should give it another chance.
Yeah, very good, Kevin Spacey. It made me think about that. There's a great hacker in there.
Uh-huh.
And if this guy was working for the Cardinals, forget it. It would be all over. It would be all over. But, we'll see how it turns out. But very, very interesting part of baseball, I think, at this point right now. So I'm enjoying it.
It's a great contrast between the Cardinals and the Cubs. The Cardinals are, they're very established, and you sort of know who they are. You know exactly what to expect. They got a lot of veterans. But the Cubs, who have had several wins against the Cardinals, are entirely different. They're bringing up all these kids. Some of them are just tremendous, future unlimited. And the remaining games those teams have against each other are going to be some of the real must-watches as it gets down to the wire.
Yeah, this, I'm telling you, this is a very good season. This
great season.
It is, because the postseason is going to be absolutely fabulous. I can see that coming. I really can. Yeah. No doubt. Susak did go on the DL, and Sanchez is up. So
That hurts.
Yeah, it does, because it puts Belt back in the lineup today in first base, and Posey's behind the plate. Pagan, Panic, Duffy, Posey, Pence, Crawford. Maxwell goes to left because of the lefty, no Blanco. And Belt, who can't hit a lefty, is at first base and Bumgarner. So that's the lineup for today. So
yeah, it's a shame because, you know, with Susak there, and he's a good all-around player, just an absolute major leaguer. And, you know, Posey was getting a lot of time at first base, and, which is he's playing the position really well. His legs are getting saved a little bit, and now all of a sudden he's back in the fire pretty much almost daily. So that's not a good thing.
No, in fact, every time he got to first base, he had all the singles. Yes, they kept driving in runs.
Yeah.
Every time you could read Goldschmidt's lips, he said, "Would you stop driving in runs, please?" You could see it. All right. Yeah. Hey, what are you doing today?
Well, we got the A's and the Giants, and I taped the golf, so we'll be looking at that a little bit later. So, you know, typical day around the house. Maybe take a little walk. Walk down to the ocean, see how that's looking, and next thing you know, it's cocktail hour.
It's the way we live. This is the way we live.
Absolutely.
Hey, you had an interesting, I'll let you go with this as long as you're here. The NBA may reseed and just do 1 through 16, forgetting about the conferences. Is that coming up?
Well, no, that's what a lot of people would like to see happen. They're not going quite that far where they seed the top 16, and you know, if you're number 8 in the East, and you're not one of those. They're not going that far yet. They're going to take away the stipulation that the division winners, and who pays attention to division races in the NBA?
Yeah.
It's all about the conference race. But previously, the division winners were automatically seeded into the top 4.
Ah, okay.
So you had Portland sliding in there. They were the 6th best team, but they're sliding into the number 4 slot, and it screwed everything up. You know, it had all the matchups changed. And it probably worked to the Warriors' favor, but it's just wrong. It's dated, and that they're probably going to wipe that out by the start of this season.
Got it. Okay, very good. All right, great stuff. Bruce, have a great day, and we'll see you next weekend. A's and Giants, that'll be fun.
You got it. See you then.
All right, thanks, Bruce. All right, the great Bruce Jenkins here.